This is our young people right now, so they can go upstairs. They are in the middle of learning how to teach 12-week home Bible studies, being taught by the outstanding youth team of Landmarks United Pentecostal Church. Why don't we give it up to them right now? And to our great, great group of young people. Hallelujah. As they're making their way on out. Let's do what Pastor has been doing. We're gonna be very laid back here today. I'm actually looking to see if there is a small podium. We're gonna be somewhat laid back here today, but I do have a lesson that I believe that the Lord has laid on my heart. Let's all migrate as close as we can down here to the front. As close as we can. Go ahead and sit beside that person that you don't want to sit beside. Cody said he already is. Yes, thank you. I would really like to have one of those small podiums down here on the floor today. It just kind of got that atmosphere feeling. You know where one's at, Brother Devin? Okay, perfect. Awesome. Well, let's go ahead and turn to the Word of God then. If you got your Bible, we're going to turn to James 1 and 26. We're just going to take our time. I remember a story when I was really, really young. I know I've told this to the church before, but it is a hilarious story. How many here remember back when we had the field over there fenced in, we had horses in there? Yeah. There was like two or three horses. How many can go way back and remember when we had the cows in there? Yeah. Brother Bennett's like, yes, never again. How many here chase those cows? Yeah. Uh-huh. Exactly. That's why they're not over there anymore. Well, we had horses over there at one time, and I had come to the church, and I promise to be fast with this, but I had come here to the church, and I decided I was going to ride one that hadn't been ridden for a while, and saddled it up, put the bridle on it, sat down on it, gave it a good kick, took off running down the church driveway, got over here, spun it around. I said, I just want to see just how much this thing's got in it. Kicked it really hard, came all the way back down this end a lot faster. As I saw the barn approaching, getting a little bit closer, I decided it's time to start slowing down. Went to pull back. Nothing's happening. Went to screaming, whoa, nothing happening. Pulled back harder and nothing happening. All of a sudden, the building is really, really close. The horse decides now it's time to stop before I go through the building. He stopped on his own accord. And I slid off the horse, or rather crashed off the horse and slid the rest of the way into the building. And then, to my surprise, after I had figured out exactly what had happened, thank you, Brother Tony, and opened my eyes and looked up, lo and behold, Pastor is standing there over top of me, and he said something I'll never forget. Small things matter. I didn't know what that meant. He said, yeah, I'm fine. Thanks, Dad. Love you, too. He said, small things matter. What are you talking about, Dad? He said, look at the curb strap on that horse. Now, those of you that don't know anything about horses, there's a little leather piece that goes underneath that bridle, that bit. It's a little piece about yay big. To buy it, it's probably what, Joni? Like 50 cents to a dollar probably to buy it. But without that little piece of leather, it doesn't apply the pressure needed for the horse to know that now it's time to stop. I had neglected that material, and in neglecting that material, it had fallen apart. And I about died because of a 50-cent piece. Everybody say, small things matter. Small things matter. All right, the Word of God says in James 1:26, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain religion, defined, means this, self-satisfying and cropped to fit. Cropped to fit. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be vain. I don't want to be anything other than what God wants me to be. I want to be prepared. I want to recognize the small things that matter. I want to be prepared so that when that trumpet sounds one day, I'll be able to make my way home. How about you? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now for tonight's Bible study. Mighty God, once again, we can't say enough how grateful we are, how thankful we are, oh God, to be in your presence. Lord, I'm asking right now, dear Jesus, to speak to each and every single one of us, oh God. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, dear Lord, and our minds, dear Jesus, to receive your word, oh God, and be changed by it. We'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. All right, you can be seated. Small things matter. When I looked up at my dad and he was laughing, and he commenced to saying those words, those are words that I never, never forgot. A sentence that is permanently engraved in my mind, small things matter. James 3:3 says this, "Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." The whole body of such a gigantic animal is turned by just a small piece of material. A 2,000-pound animal that has the ability to smash anything, has the ability to jump most higher than anybody in here, has the ability to go faster than anybody in here, controlled by something so small. Small things matter. I was thinking today, as I was looking at some of the materials in buildings. I've got this thing going on right now where I'm trying my absolute best to graduate from the University of YouTube, is what I tell people. I'm trying my best to learn about different things. I'm trying to learn how to hang sheetrock. I'm trying to learn how to run water piping. I'm trying to learn. See, I don't even know how to say it. That's how far along I am. I'm trying to learn plumbing. I'm trying because I've got all these things going on at my house right now, and I'm trying to do it all myself. And I'm doing pretty good. I'm actually kind of proud of myself in the way that I'm doing. But I have learned that small thing mattering is not just something that applies with spiritual mindset, but it's something that matters in just everyday life. I've learned that if you place a pipe at just a slight angle that's wrong at the very beginning or the onstart of your job, that by the time you get to the end of it, you're way off course. I've learned that at the very beginning of possibly laying tile, that if you have the very first one just a little bit crooked, then the last one you lay is going to look like an absolute joke. It's going to look like Bristol put it there. I've learned that brick, I've learned that wiring, I've learned that all of this, the very beginning of things matter possibly the most. Your direction at the very beginning, even though it may be a little bit off, and you might think that, hey, this isn't too bad. It's really minute. It's small. It's not a big deal. It's not a big issue. From the very beginning, as you reach to the very end, you'll find yourself way off course. Small things matter. Can I say that our words can matter? Small words can matter. A small verbal cut may leave lasting scars. A small verbal jab may leave crashing relationships. A little bit of criticizing and a little bit of gossip. Small things matter. Our young people are upstairs and they're learning how to teach the Word of God. They're learning how to teach a 12-week home Bible study. But we have young people now that are at the age to where they are looking for relationships. Not just a relationship to where they can say, yeah, I got a girlfriend. They're looking for long-lasting relationships, possibly future relationships. Let's not allow the ones that they're looking into to be the one that is already beginning to set off course the future that God has in store for them. Hear me now. I need assistance and I need help from each and every person in here. I promise I'll push or I'll pull if you push. I'll pull with everything that I've got within me if you'll push as a parent from behind and allow them to be in the direction that God wants them to be in. I'm going to settle here for just a few minutes because it's vitally important. We cannot allow the enemy to send in some just young boy or some young girl and then we say, hey, you know what? It's okay. They're not doing too much. They're not messing up. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. But yet they're allowing themselves to be connected. All of a sudden, we'll find ourselves off course in the future. Small things matter. Relationships matter. Before you got married, what did you do? You dated. Before you dated, what happened? You made a phone call. Before you made that phone call, you met that person. Where were you when you met that person? At the very beginning, if you was to look back at where you were, to the very first thing that led you to where you are now, if you was to change that just slightly, would you be in the relationship you're in now? Would you be in the place that you are in now? Would you be in the seat that you are in now? Would you be in the mindset that you are in right now? Would you be filled with the Holy Ghost the way that you are right now? If you was to just back up and look at the very first minute possible thing that happened, whether it had been a track, maybe you picked it up off the ground, what would have happened if you would have walked past it? What would have happened if the person that invited you to the house of God, you would have just said, nope, not today, don't have time, got to mow my yard. Small things matter. It's very important that we begin to see. We have to see past our nose. We have to see into the future of things. If I put a foot on that step, it's going to take me to a higher place. It might not be a lot higher, but it's going to take me to a different location. If I take another step, it's going to take me to another place. If I take another step, it's going to take me somewhere else, and then I can find myself on a platform. But it all began with the small step. Small steps take you places. Small things matter. As apostolic, Holy Ghost filled men and women of God, we have to understand that every single thing that we do has meaning. Every single thing we do has purpose. And every single thing we say, do, are, become has everlasting effect. Do you understand? Everything we do has everlasting effect. The tongue has the potential to uplift or destroy. A raging fire begins with what? Somebody say it loud. A spark, a small flame. James 3 and 5 says this, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. How great a matter. The Great Chicago Fire of 1871, hear this, 10,000 people left homeless, $200 million in damages, hotels and houses, small stores and large factories, railroad cars, churches and public buildings, all gone. And where did the destructive fire start? In a cow barn behind the home of Patrick O'Leary on DeCoven Street after a cow kicked over a lantern. After a cow kicked over a lantern. A small spark, a small mistake, part of the farmer. He shouldn't have left a lantern possibly on the ground, but hey, it's just a lantern. It's enclosed, it's captured, it's okay, it's safe. But then all of a sudden, until 10,000 people left homeless, $200 million in damages, and many, many hundreds of buildings, factories destroyed because a cow couldn't watch where he was stepping. One of the most terrible disasters in the United States started in a little cow shed. Now, I'm not trying to place our focus on the hazards of a real fire, but I do want us to realize the hazards of a simple, simple act. A simple verbal spark. A simple time in being in the wrong location. A simple word spoken. A simple text message sent. A simple telephone call made. A simple hangout with a friend that's not in the house of God. And the list goes on and on. You say, well, Brother Marshburn, there, Carson, that's not too big of a deal. That's not too big of a problem. Small things matter. Everybody say it. Small things matter. If you don't remember anything else, you're going to walk out of this place saying small things matter. Small things matter. James 3 and 10 through 12 says this. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? No. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? A mind that is bent on focusing on the small things so that they can achieve the great things is a mind that's bent to seeing salvation and revival. A mind that is bent on paving a road that is clear and without fault, that is clear, that is, doesn't have potholes in it, but yet allows you to walk smoothly. A mind that is set on preparing the way clearly is a mind that is set on saving a family. A mind that is set on seeing revival in their home. A mind that is set on seeing revival in the church. But it all begins with small things. A loaded shotgun is nothing to play with. Even though there is a safety button on it, it is best to check the safety often until the gun is unloaded. Have you ever heard the old saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That statement makes no more sense than if we substituted guns for words. We need to recognize the power behind our words. Let's exercise as much caution with our words as we do with a loaded gun. Even though it has a safety, that safety is small and minute. By the pushing of that safety, lives can be changed. By the pushing of that safety, things can be broken. Lives can be lost. History can be rewritten. Things can happen because of just a small thing. Two more points and then I'm done. Number one, a controlled tongue versus a careless tongue. There is nothing like a hot, crackling fire on a cold, dreary day. It's awesome to warm yourself by a glowing fire. Yet what could be more tragic than to get caught in the middle of a blazing house fire? How terrible it would be to try to run from the engulfing flames. In both examples, the element is the same fire. Yet one is cozy and the other is calamity. We love a fireplace, but we dislike house fires. Amen? Without fire, man could not survive. Mankind has been using it for thousands of years. Fire allows man to live in cold regions, to eat certain foods, to create tools, and countless other materials for survival and growth. Yet fire is also one of the greatest of all hazards to man. It has killed him, destroyed his home, and even wiped out his community. Fire in the past has caused tremendous horror. What's the difference between a cozy fire and a fire of calamity? The difference is this: one is controlled and the other is uncontrolled. If there's anything that I can get across here tonight, it'd be this. What we do matters. We have to be able to look into the future of what our actions, results are going to be. When this building was being made, when the construction of this building first started, the very first thing that they did before they poured the foundation was to place just a few small boards in the perfect angle, the perfect height. Why? Why does it matter for just a few small boards? We're looking at a huge building. What could two by fours do? What could that do? What would that harm? Why do we put so much focus on that? Because the purpose of that was so that everything was level. The concrete had to be poured level. This had to be made right. This had to be set in action. And because of that very first action, you're able to stand in this house this way and not this way. The things we do matter. As the youth pastor of this church, I want to tell you something. I want to talk to the parents. I want to talk to the moms. And I want to talk to the dads. And I want to say, please help us. We had the greatest young people that this church has ever seen. We have the greatest group of young people. We have revival-minded young people. We have church growth young people. We have Bible study teaching young people. Listen, they're not just up there. Hear me now. They're not just up there listening to this Bible study and enjoying the teaching by either Tabitha or Sister Amanda or whoever up there tonight. You know what they're doing also? Every single one of them has a notebook in their hands and they're making notes. They're learning how to make connections with people. They're learning how to teach the Word of God. Please help me, Mom and Dad. When they get home, don't let that just be something that happens here at church. Let it be something that follows them home. Let there be prayer that's happening on a daily basis. Not just when we get to church Tuesday or we get to church Sunday, we're going to talk to God. But no, it's Monday. You're home from school. We're going to talk to God for a little while. And then before we go to bed, we're going to talk to God again. But not only are we going to pray, we're going to read our Bible. Why? Because we have a plan to read the Bible through this year. So we're going to keep up with that plan. Because we got to start in January. Because if we let it go, if we lose it, if we let a day set aside or we forget what happens, it's broken. Small things matter. Small things matter. I've seen young people be so caught up in the touch of God, be so caught up in the anointing of God, be so caught up in what God had planned for them, and be so excited about a future with God. And then all of a sudden, I've seen some young girl, some young guy come around, and then all of a sudden a text message is sent. And then now, next thing you know, they're not here. You say, well, yeah, that because this happened and this happened, because that went this way, and because they ended up going over here, and they ended up, no. You know where it all started? All started with a text. All started with a phone call. Small things matter. You say, well, Brother Marshburn, how much can a 5 or 10 minute prayer do just before they go to bed? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll do what it did to me. My mom, my dad, I cannot remember a day. I cannot remember a day that I would go to school where my mom and my dad would not lay hands on me and my brother while we were in the car in the drive-thru of getting ready to be dropped off at the school. My brother can attest to this, that mom, if she was taking us to school, or dad, if he was taking us to school, they wouldn't lay a hand on us, and they would just simply say 2 minute prayer. God, keep your hands of protection upon my children. Don't let them be influenced, but yet let them influence others. Let them be a soul winner. Let them be guided. Let them be directed by you, oh God. Keep sin away. Keep the enemy away, oh God. Bless them and give them favor with their teachers in Jesus' name. Small things matter. One more thing, and then we'll just about be wrapping it up here. But if every single person here, I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but if every single person here was to teach one home Bible study this year, and out of that one home Bible study you was able to win one individual, every single person here, do you know what would happen? We would double. If I was to get one kernel of corn and I was to plant that joker in the ground and it produced, I don't know how much corn is on one cob, but a lot, let's put it that way. And then if I was to take that and I was to plant all of those in the ground, I think it was said that within 4 or 5 times of planting, based upon what was produced, you wouldn't be able to contain it. But it all started where? With one kernel of corn. There's a revelation that the enemy does not want you to know. There's a revelation that the enemy does not want the church of today to understand, that small things matter. We've got to get our eyes on these small things. We've got to get our eyes where that is. Because why? Because it takes us to the big picture. It takes us to the great things that God has in store. We can't look at ourselves and say, well, we need to win 1,000 people. No, you need to win one. And then that one's going to win one. And then that one's going to win one. And then that other one's going to win one. If you all of a sudden try to take on the responsibility of winning 1,000 people, you're going to get a little stressed out. But if you can put your focus on one, church growth's happening. You can put your focus on one prayer, all of a sudden you got a culture of prayer in your home. You can put your focus on Bible reading, all of a sudden you got a culture of Bible reading in your home. Small things matter. Let's all stand. On average, a person opens his or her mouth approximately 700 times a day to speak. Now, that information was, I believe, a couple years, 3 years ago. Probably not that much now because of text messaging. People saying, LOL, I know you ain't laughing out loud. It's like, LOL. You ain't even smiling when you send that. One day, I just like to see someone laugh out loud, literally. 700 times a day to speak. That is a lot of chances to be destructive or constructive. In other words, God has given us the ability to tear down or to build up. You hear that? God has given us the ability 700 times a day to tear down or to build up. It's so important to ask God to guard your thoughts. It's so important to ask God to direct your path. It's so important to ask God to allow you to see more than 5 seconds into the future. I just wonder right now, because there's a special touch of the Holy Ghost. It's not a run the aisles, bite chunks out of the ceiling. It's not a crash the altar and repent, and it's not in tears. It's not that. But there's an eye-opening presence of God that's here in this place right now. This is what I want us to do. I want us to all just lift our hands to heaven right now, and I want close your eyes and just begin to ask God. Say, God, my direction. Where am I going? God, my children, their direction. Where are they going? Come on, someone, talk to them. Talk to them. Just be perfectly honest with them right now. And you watch. Watch God begin to speak to you. Watch God begin to reveal some things to you. Say, work it out in your mind. This is what we do as Holy Ghost-filled people of God. This is what we do. We look at where God is taking us. And we look at it and we say, okay, is this the enemy trying to derail me? Or is this the Holy Ghost trying to take me somewhere where I need to go? God, are you directing my children? Or devil, are you trying to get in the way and try to derail something that God has plans for you? Are you trying to get their mind where it's not supposed to be? Are you trying to take them somewhere they're not supposed to go? Are you trying to get them associated with people that they're not supposed to be associated with, oh God? Are you directing me, oh God? Or have I gone off course from the very beginning? God, if so, this is what I'm asking. Place me back on track. This is a prayer. This is a prayer that should be prayed every day. Everybody say it one more time. Small things matter. Small things matter. At closing, this is what I want to do. I just wonder, can we make an altar? Let's do this. Everything's different here today. I'm teaching down here. Everything, the atmosphere is different. Let's do this. Let's make an altar right now for just the next couple minutes, right there at your chair where you're at. Just, you can turn around, make an altar. You can sit there, make an altar out of the chair that's in front of the chair, whatever you need to do. Cody, as you play softly, this is what I want us to totally take everything else out of your mind right now, where you're going to go eat, what happened today on the job, what so-and-so may have said, whether this or that, your hair not done just right. Do all of that stuff out of your mind right now, and I want you to look at your direction. I want you to look at the direction of your family. I want you to look at the direction of your home, and I want you just to talk to God. Say, God, open my eyes. Open my eyes so that I can see. Come on, somebody, just lift your voice to heaven right now and begin to talk to Him. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, God, I'm asking you, Lord, God, to direct us, dear God. Let us see, dear Jesus, where you want us to be. Let us see, oh God, where you want us to go, dear God. Lord, and I'm asking you, dear Jesus, that when we get there, that it will be your perfect plan, that it will be your perfect will. God, something else that I want to ask for right now, God, is I want to ask for the backbone, dear God, to be able to pick this thing up, oh God, if it's not in the right direction, oh Lord, and begin to pick it up and completely tear it away, oh God, from the roots that the enemy's trying to form, dear Lord, and place it where it needs to go, whether people are offended, whether people are hurt, oh God. Help me, dear Jesus, to be the man. Help us, oh God, to be the women. Whatever you need us to be, oh God, to be able to place it where we need it to be, dear Lord. God, because it's for your glory and your glory alone, dear Jesus. Give us the hunger for holiness. Give us the hunger for righteousness. Give us the love for your house, oh God. Give us the love for your word, dear Jesus. Give us a love for direction. Give us a love, oh God, once again. One that can't be broken. One that can't be swayed. One that can't be... Mighty God, mighty God, mighty God. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. I need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Mighty God, I thank you, Lord, for speaking to your people here tonight. I thank you, oh God, for opening up our eyes, dear Jesus. I thank you, dear God, for helping us, dear Lord, to see that sometimes the enemy's attack can seem like a small thing, but small things matter. We see it, oh God. We receive it, dear Lord, and we're challenged by your word. And it's in your wonderful name we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Thank you, each and every one of you, for being here on a Tuesday night. Why don't you just find somebody, shake their hand, and invite somebody out to eat with you, whatever you got to do. And let's just be here Saturday night for prayer, because, hey, 45 minutes of prayer, small things matter. God bless you as you're dismissed.